A group of eminent Australians will release a report tomorrow morning calling for an end to the prohibition of illicit drugs in Australia. The Australia 21 group report is the result of a roundtable that brought together former premiers, health ministers and other politicians from across the spectrum, senior public servants and parents of young people whose lives have been ruined by drugs. Their headline message: the prohibition of illicit drugs is killing and criminalising our children, and we are all letting it happen. Among the group is a man who's helped put a lot of drug dealers and users in jail, the recently retired New South Wales Director of Prosecutions, Nick Cowdery. He says it was his job to work within the law, but the law should change.
I'm not advocating in respect of any drugs that they should simply be available to anybody who wants them. Certainly not. The prongs of the approach that I would hope we would move towards, and it will not happen quickly, it will not happen overnight, and it may not happen in relation to all drugs. But what I would like to see is the legalisation, the regulation, so it's not just supermarket stuff, the control and the taxation of drugs, much as we do with alcohol and nicotine at present. We know that they cause us a lot of trouble, but because they're out in the open and because the government can put controls around the supply and the consumption of those drugs, alcohol and nicotine, we can reduce the harms that they cause.
Portugal, a little while ago, decriminalised the possession of small quantities of all drugs by users. How's that worked?
It's actually worked very well. This happened 11 years ago in Portugal, which seems an unusual sort of location for some move of this kind to occur. However, despite all the warnings that it would create a honeypot effect and that people would rush into Portugal from all over Europe, that sort of thing has not happened. The Portuguese decriminalisation of possession and use of amounts consistent with personal consumption has been, according to the reports that have been done, very successful. You are still technically committing an offence, but instead of going into the courts, you are put before a committee comprised of a medical practitioner, a social worker and a lawyer. Depending on the amount of your use, the circumstances of your use and so on, you will then be directed to a treatment regime or a support regime in the community. The important thing is that there hasn't been increased usage. In fact, in relation to some drugs, there's been a reduction in the amount of use overall. There hasn't been a honeypot effect, drawing people from other places to come and take advantage of those provisions. There has been a lot of success in getting people away from their addiction, back into healthy social and family relationships, back into employment, where their drug use had made them unsuitable for employment. The only criticism I think that I've really noticed in reading the reports, the evaluation reports, is a small complaint about the additional cost, because you've got programs being designed and operated for people. That costs a little bit of extra money beyond just putting them into courts and banging them up in jail.
The United States has a long record of putting heavy pressure on countries to keep the existing framework of the law on drugs. What happened to Portugal there? Is it a precedent that suggests that that pressure is easing from America?
No, not at all. And there's every reason to believe that the pressure remains from the United States, in particular supporting the three relevant United Nations conventions which deal with these drugs. But the Portuguese have been very clever about all of that. And what they've actually done is to leave these as criminal offences, but to deal with them by way of diversion, avoiding the courts, avoiding the prison process, the punitive line, and diverting people away into treatment. Now, that is entirely consistent with the conventions, and it doesn't lead to a backlash from countries like the United States. And it's interesting to see that Bolivia is going down that same path.
Is there any evidence in Portugal, for instance, that the big drug dealers, the big drug smugglers and importers are doing less business as a result?
There's some evidence, yes. Not dramatic evidence. And of course, there is still a job for the criminal law in dealing with them. This doesn't take all drug manufacture, production, growth, distribution away from the criminal law. The criminal law is still there on the periphery to deal with people who still want to flout the system.
another objection that is raised is that if you do this in one country, you just get flow-on effects. You may export the problem to the country next door. Until there's concerted action, there won't be real change.
Well, there's some merit in that argument, I think, except that Australia is a little bit different. We are on an island. We're a bit harder to get to. We're in a better position to be able to control what goes on within our borders, and so we might have an advantage there. But I agree with you that, generally speaking, at least at a regional level, it would be better if countries could get together and adopt a similar sort of regime for dealing with the issue in that region. And you find now that the presidents of a number of Central American countries are calling on the United States and the United Nations to change the way in which drug possession and use is criminalised, to take some of the burden off them, because they're on the track from South America through to the United States.
And finally, there's another huge hurdle that you'll have to get over, and that is large sections of the media.
Well, the media and, at the moment, large sections of the politicians. Now, what Australia 21 hopes...
They sort of feed each other.
Oh, yes. There's a sort of symbiotic relationship between certain parts of the media and certain parts of politics, as I discovered in my previous life.
There tends to be a law and order auction at almost every election.
Yes, except that in New South Wales we avoided that last year, fortunately, I think largely because of the attitude of the current Attorney General, so we should be grateful for that. But that's not to say that it won't pop up again, and particularly in relation to drugs. So what I think needs to happen, and what Australia 21 is directing itself towards, is reigniting the discussion, destigmatizing the discussion, if you like, getting it out from under the table where people have remained concerned about it all, even though there hasn't been much in public media, so that people can look for both the benefits and the costs of moving away from the prohibition regime, to be able to inform the politicians about the wishes of substantial sections of the community, substantial sections of their voters.
Nick Cowdery, former Director of Public Prosecutions in New South Wales, on the Australia 21 report that's due to be released tomorrow morning.